Welcome back in, 8:32 here on a Friday. It's Morning Drive. We're live this morning from Kitchen Oats inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stick to sports coming up in less than 15 minutes, but right now we welcome in the Predators president and CEO, Sean Henry. Sean, good morning. Congratulations. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. It's an exciting time for the city, isn't it?
It very much is. So obviously the 30-year extension. So set this up for the fan, the Predator fan that says, okay, Predators, Bridgestone Arena, another three decades. What does that mean for the fan beyond the obvious, and what can you tell us about things down the road in the future with Bridgestone Arena and the Nashville Predators?
That's a whole lot of question there. I think the best thing about it is when you talk about iconic memories and buildings and venues, sometimes they take on a life of their own. The one thing they all have in common is they're decades and decades and decades old. You know, you remember when your parents brought you your first fill-in-the-blank game, and you always talk about the venue. When you look, you know, Lambeau, Fenway, Wrigley, Soldier Field, Madison Square Garden, you know, they're all 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years old. That's what you want to tap into. And we are in the best possible location for any venue, I'd say, in America, where we sit. What's really nice is with Mayor Bredesen's vision of putting the arena there, he created, you know, the wave of development around the building, that entertainment district. And I think we brought it to life. And then when the Titan Stadium was put at the other end of the road, if you will, it really created something really dynamic. And what's exciting is we're going to play in that place for the next 30 years. And it really isn't a lease extension. It's really a brand new lease. I mean, the old one is terminated. You know, it is approved in June, and it will be. This new one will go into place, but we're almost switching roles with the city. You know, right now it's the city's burden to keep the building state-of-the-art. Years ago, we made the decision to never invoke that clause because we thought it was more important for us to figure out revenue streams and funding sources to invest in the building and not try to tap into the city. And you see the result. You know, the building looks pretty new. It's modern, and it's going to be one of the most modern buildings in America for the next 30 years, regardless of what renovations we do or don't do. What we just set in motion will allow that building, just like Madison Square Garden, is to be one of the most modern buildings in the country for the next 30 years.
I really want to hammer that point you just made home as well, Sean, that taxpayer dollars, people that live in the city, there's no longer, if something does come along that you guys want to do or that the city wants to do or the Preds or the management company wants to do, none of that is tied at all to any of the people that live in the area. It's all done through private revenue streams. So I think how unusual is that in all of sports just around the country, and just to drive home to people so that they understand truly that this is all kind of self-sustaining now.
Yeah, and that's real key. It is self-sustaining, and whether that's unique or not is almost secondary to me. I know for the unique part about it is, it's rare that a team in a 20-year-old building or 22-year-old building goes to the city and says, we want to stay here. Let's not have that conversation of where's the new arena going to be or the new stadium, fill in the blank. It's in disrepair. It's bad. It's antiquated. It's old. It's not modern. And you guys say these words. Everyone says these words. And it's almost understood that a building should be replaced in 20 or 30 years. And that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't get it. If I lived in one of those cities where it happens, it's bizarre to me. And you look at, there are a lot of cities that are out there that have replaced their arenas after only 20 years, 15 years, 25 years. And I don't understand it, but they all do it for the same reason. Well, no one's investing in it. It's in disrepair. Well, whose fault is that? When I hear people complain about a venue, I always look at the team first and say, well, what are you doing about it? And normally what you hear is, well, it's the city's responsibility or the state's or the county's. And I'm just so proud that we built that environment with the city, and give all the credit in the world to Mayor Dean, Mayor Bredesen, Mayor Briley, Mayor Barry for really creating the climate for us where we can take this conversation and move it forward 30 years. But the other is for the taxpayers, as you said, who mentioned on the show earlier, that only 25% of our tickets are used by Davidson County residents. That's a good thing. And because of where we sit geographically, it allows for so many other counties to feed into our building. So Davidson County built this. The real economic impact, that $560 million, is a result of so many people from outside the county spending their discretionary dollars, not where they live, but right here in Davidson County, and it's a boom. And then when you look at how many people from outside the state, I think it's 10, 15% from outside the state, it's the same thing. Regionally, you're exploding the economy for the state as well. So it's a good number that we have 75% of the people outside the county use the building.
So is that typically the norm across the sporting world where that does happen? And then you know when you're talking about new stadiums, I think a lot of it has to do with when they build these stadiums, they don't build them with the foresight of things changing. They build them for that time, and I think you guys have done a great job at putting together Bridgestone, thinking in the future. So if you did have to do anything major, it wouldn't have to mean, you know, demolishing Bridgestone and then building it back up. It would be, like you said, just adding some things to a structure that is conducive to you being able to do it.
Yeah, and answer your question on is it the norm for that percentage of out of county, if you will, or out of city?
Uh-huh.
Not every venue sits in a city that's county government as well. But I think it changes depending on where you are. I assume the Yankees sitting in the Bronx probably have more people come from outside of the Bronx than live there, even more than we do. You look at the St. Louis Cardinals being right on the border of Illinois. I'm sure I bet a third of their people come from out of the state. So it balances. And there are some that are almost on an island where it really is self-sustaining to that region. Mm-hmm. I love where we sit because we do draw from so many states and so many counties while we're also building our own brand. And then, like you said, you know, this building was built really well by Mayor Bredesen and his vision. At the same time, it was built in 1996. So just the amount of time people spent in the building 20 years ago versus what people want to do now, that changes. So what we'll need to do is add bathroom counts, points of sale for food and beverage, unique breakout areas. And we probably will break down a lot of walls and demo, but it's going to be fun to do that over the next 30 years.
Sean, I know you and your staff are always trying to get research and data and metrics on the way people consume your product and who is consuming your product. I found it very interesting the TV ratings for the Stanley Cup playoffs after the Nashville Predators were eliminated by Dallas has gone down in the city. Like the PGA Tour and the NBA playoffs were drawing much bigger numbers over the San Jose-St. Louis series. And I'm wondering if you guys keep track of that in the city, the way the league is being consumed within Nashville. Obviously, with you guys being out, it's lower. And do you guys go about it and try to figure a way to keep the city engaged in the sport when your team specifically is out? I didn't know if you had any thoughts of that, if you track that, or if even that's, and I don't want to say an obligation, but do you guys feel like you need to do to get the growth of the league in the city of Nashville? We know the Preds are booming, but as far as the NHL?
Well, yes, of course we track it. And, you know, it's funny, last year, our city, Knoxville, Memphis even, were one of the higher cities in the whole country after the team was eliminated for ratings. And within the city, our ratings were really high. And I think part of it was, you know, you go to the second round last year, you lose at home in a, you know, seven-game series against Winnipeg. You still wanted more. You know, you're still a little enthused and encouraged. I think this year, you know, the expectations for our team, for our fans, was so high, as it should be, and I hope it is every year. That's a good thing. I think all of us got hit in the face with a shovel a little bit, and I think you have a few people, you know, just tuning out. The funny thing is the games are so good right now. When you actually get deep into the data on the ratings for the games and you look at when they're peaking, it's almost as if people get – they can't not look at Twitter or can't look at what's going on in that game. When you look at the San Jose series going into overtime the other night, and the ratings in our market just kept growing as that game went on, and it shows that people still have that interest. But I do think, you know, how we finished this year, a lot of people were very disappointed and needed a break from hockey. But when you look at Game 5 of this St. Louis-Dallas game, I think it was, or series, I think we were the number one sports viewing that week in our city. So it just shows when something is really dynamic going on, our people will tune in. Do we have an obligation to grow the game? Of course. And that's why we're building rinks. You know, we opened the one in Antioch a few years ago. Bellevue opens in a few months. It was just announced in Montgomery County that we're going to be working with the county and Austin Peay on an event center and an ice rink. So, yeah, we take that on pretty seriously.
Sean, I know you got to go, but real quickly, and you mentioned knocking down walls. I'm assuming everything's on the table. Can you get? I'm not trying to pin you down here, but can you give any of the fans any ideas, sort of the creativity that's bubbling right now as to what Bridgestone could look like over the next 10, 12, 15 years?
Well, yeah, we did a visioning study about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, basically looking at the architecture, like what could be, whether you build a tower or not, rip walls out to have Broadway invade the building, the building spill into the Mumbry in our fifth or sixth. I mean, all those things are on the table. But we've been pretty public about some of the things that we want to do. Continuous AV renovation over the next 2 or 3 years, from new scoreboards, external scoreboards, video, sound that emits in and out. We talked about probably building a press box, ideally. Maybe it's next summer, maybe it's summer after, which would allow us to add about 1,200 seats to the venue, which does two things. It allows us to continue to grow without all that burden being on the backs of our fans. It'll also allow us to manage that get-in price, if you will, to keep that as modest as possible. We're proud. We have one of the lowest get-in prices, for our games in the league, and that's an important thing. As we continue to grow our fan base, as more and more people move into town and more people enjoy the game, we want to make sure that that first or second experience, we don't put a barrier up from a price standpoint. So,
Sean, great stuff. We appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Continued success.
One thing, though, I got to add. I got to tell you, my daughter's mad at you, Nick.
Me? I mean, I usually tick off my wife, but I ticked off your daughter now?
I was making her breakfast this morning when you said that perhaps our fans weren't knowledgeable, and that's why they're not as passionate or disappointed over losses. And I broke the plate. I was smashing the avocado toast on because our fans are as knowledgeable, if not more knowledgeable, than any fan base in this country. And I will argue with that and defend it and put it out there. And you, I know you've only been here a little time, but I assume when you got here, you were shocked how knowledgeable our fans were. And I think every day, more and more people around the country realize this is a passionate hockey market, and it's growing every day.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Sean.
So you owe my daughter avocado toast without Charlotte's vocal pleading.
I don't think he can make avocado toast.
That's pretty cheap. We can do that. We can do that.
Guys,
he can purchase
so
it, but not make
right,
it.
Right. Although the price of avocados is going up.
That's true. I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah.
All right, there he is, Sean Henry.
You got to buy avocado toast?
I do love – I know that it's like the hipster thing. People like make fun of like California.
I hate avocados.
I love tomato, a fried egg, tomato – cheese and avocado on a piece of toast. Oh,
I hate
my God.
Avocado. I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
The fascination with this avocado toast.
It's
thing.
A superfood and it's delicious.
I know it's a
creamy,
superfood.
It's delicious. It
but,
good.
Is it going to make me stronger? Will I be able to fly like Superman? It's a superfood.
But
it's
yes, not, Derek, it's food's going to make you fly.
It's a superfood.
What the hell you talking about?
It's not as good until you turn it into guacamole.
See, I'm not a guac fan either.
But that's a your taste thing.
No, everybody does it. Like, no one likes guac.
Nobody likes guac.
Nobody likes guac.
Everybody loves guac.
Congratulations, you found a way to shut Braden up. Good job.
He literally just threw his headset down.
It was a mic drop. He dropped his mic and walked off. Yeah, he threw the mic.
I just feel bad that I ticked his daughter off. I mean, I enjoy ticking my wife off, but I don't want to tick any other females off. It's a bad work out of me. All right, stick to sports is next. Stay there.